Welcome to the No Wasted Days podcast. I'm Blaine Marion.
And I'm Courtney Marion.
And on this podcast, we dive deep into the unconventional ways we got sober.
And how we continue to stay sober.
Welcome to the No Wasted Days podcast. I'm your co-host, Blaine Marion.
And I'm Courtney Marion.
Today is episode 62. Going to be talking about cravings. So Courtney, when you first got... In the early days of sobriety, how often did you have alcohol cravings?
Daily.
Hourly? Every minute?
Weekends were very, very hard. Weekends were, like, fucking painful. Mm-hmm. But, like, every time I drove by the liquor store, every time I got home from work, especially if I had a bad day, I would say daily at least, multiple times throughout the day.
Yeah, when we first got sober, I'd say the first... I don't know, probably week to 10 days. It was, well, maybe not that long, but for the first like 3 or 4 days, I would say like I was thinking about alcohol like the whole time and thinking about getting fucked up.
And like every time I went on Facebook and seen somebody drinking or like at a sports bar or like a hockey game would come on, like they were just like, hey, motherfucker, I'm here.
Yeah.
It was overwhelming. In the beginning, it was very overwhelming.
Yeah, I think, like, and then, because I had the Sober Time app, and I can still remember, like, being like, holy shit, I have 7 days sober. Like, I made it a week. I'm like, maybe I can get to 10. And then you get to 10 days, and then you're like, well, it's only 4 more days, and that's 2 weeks. Like, that's the longest I've been sober in, like, years. And it's, you still, I was still getting alcohol cravings up, like, I still get them now. But, like, they're not very frequent. But in early sobriety, they definitely were. It was like, yeah. It went from, like, thinking about alcohol and drugs all the time to probably thinking about it, like, every hour and then, like, every day and then every 2 days kind of thing.
I think once you can get it down to, like, a craving once a week, that's when you're like, okay, I'm starting to make, like, I'm starting to see the fucking light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm only, like, having, like, a bad craving, like, once a week, that's usually when you're, like, okay, like, this is just going to get better and better.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of your turning point. At least for me, because there was a big step in sobriety was going from craving daily to, like, craving on Friday or Saturday because it was the weekend.
Yeah, the weekend was always, yeah, it was the same for me, too. I don't know why, but every Friday, now, I don't even realize that it's the weekend. It's like, oh, whatever, it's just another day.
Fuck, I don't even know what day it is half the time.
I know.
I like it that way, to be honest.
Yeah.
Although, I do know Thursdays, because Thursday's bingo.
Yeah. I know it's when it's Friday, because the podcast comes out. That's about it.
Yeah, yeah, I do like Fridays still, but only because, yeah, our podcast comes out on Fridays.
Yeah.
But yeah, in the beginning, you have a lot of cravings, you have a lot of triggers, and you have, like, moments that are very make or break.
Yeah.
Like, moments that, like, when that craving hits... That could define the fucking, honestly, like, the fate of your sobriety,
yeah.
I found, anyway.
Yeah, in early sobriety, I think we were, I want to say, like, maybe a week to 10 days into our sobriety, and we went ice fishing with my brother, my dad, my cousin, and, like, everybody was drinking, and, like, nobody knew that we weren't. We just were there. It was right around Christmas time, and we were, like, hanging out, and we weren't drinking, but no one knew, like, that we had this problem. And I remember, like, wanting to drink so bad. And, like, you're like, no, like, we were not drinking. And I was like, oh, like, it would be so easy just to... Because we were in, like, our ice tent and they had their own. And I was like, it'd be so easy just to go over there and, like, here, I'll have a beer, sure. But I'm so glad I didn't.
And, like, and they wouldn't... And, like, because they didn't know, because nobody really knew, like, how bad our shit was, like, how bad we were into addiction, mm-hmm. till long after we had pulled ourselves out of it.
Yeah, I didn't even tell anybody until I was a year sober.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is fucking nuts when you think about it, because these people are all around us, and they don't know.
Yeah.
Like, they think fucking Blaine and Courtney are just having a good time. They're whatever. Like, so they're offering us some fucking booze. They're putting us in situations that are triggers. And, I mean, it's not their fault, because they don't know any better.
Yeah.
And because we just, like, fucking took it like a Brit, fucking stiff upper lip and never said anything. Like, how many interactions did we have that were so, like...
awkward
because, you know, like,
yeah,
but it's so hard because what do you say? You're just like, hey, like, I am a fucking drunk.
And my name's Blaine and I'm an alcoholic.
Yes, right? Like, and like, we also didn't go to AA or anything like that, so we didn't have that kind of support. Like, we only really had like ourselves,
yeah,
and like each other. Like, I'd like to thank me for taking care of me.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, like, we weren't like, I told people I wasn't drinking eventually, but I never was like, I'm not drinking because I'm an alcoholic and a fucking, you know, like, I'm alcoholic and I dabble in fucking too much drugs. Like, I never told anybody that. I just, you know, was like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just trying to dial her back. Ha ha ha. You know?
Yeah. So how did you, like, was there anything you could do to make the craving subside in early sobriety?
I played a lot. Well, I mean, I was a pretty big hermit. I avoided a lot of social interactions that would trigger it.
Yeah.
But I spent a lot of time keeping myself busy by playing video games.
Yeah.
Because it kept my like brain like stimulated and it kept me from thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So like situations, I avoided a lot of situations. Yeah, even up to like a year sober, I avoided a lot of fucking people, places, restaurants, like,
yeah,
outings, a lot of shit that I used to love to do and like people I'd love to see. I was just like, nope, like I'm going home, I'm gonna kill my fucking zombies until,
yeah,
I don't feel like drinking anymore, and then I'm gonna go be tired, and then whatever, I'm gonna go to bed and fucking wake up happy that I'm not hungover.
I know a lot of people don't believe that, like, if you do mushrooms and you smoke marijuana, that like, oh, you're not sober because those are drugs, but I'm sorry, like, marijuana is not cocaine. It's not alcohol. You're not ruining your life. And, like, I smoked marijuana, like, quite a bit back then. And I would use that because I'd be like, oh, it's Friday night. And, like, I want to go out and get drunk so bad. And I was never one to, like, mix the two. So, like, if I was, like, smoking marijuana, I'd smoke that. But if I was getting drunk, like, I wouldn't. So sometimes if I like really, like, if it was an, like, I'd have overwhelming feelings of like I should be getting drunk. Like, this is weird not doing it. So I would just like get super stoned and then I'd be like, well, there's no way I'm getting drunk now. I like, it works. I'm not saying it's like the healthiest way, but like, do anything you can in early sobriety to make that voice in your head like stop telling you to go ruin your life. Grab a bottle of whiskey and a bag of dope.
But I mean, and then that being said, like, I'm the opposite. Like, if I was like, oh, I'm going to smoke some weed. Like, no, I'm going to go have a panic attack in the corner for 4 hours.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, holy fuck, that was scary. I mean, like, it's like anything else. Definitely utilize those things as the tools, but realize that that's not a full-time crutch. You can't just, mm-hmm, like, said, oh, I'm not going to get drunk, so I'm just going to be high to my face 24/7. That's different.
Yeah, that's true.
And, like, I believe that mushrooms, and I don't utilize mushrooms and marijuana. Like, I don't remember the last time I did either. I do believe they're medicines. I don't think they're sobriety breaking, but they're also not a crutch for you to fucking just be fucked out of your face that way all the time either.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, definitely a fucking tool in the old box to use to help.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's just my own mindset because I have trouble because of so many years of not having control and spiraling from addiction. I don't like to not be in control.
Yeah.
And like we were yesterday, I think it was, we were talking about like some form of mushrooms that help like childhood trauma.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, every time I like do these ones, it helps my childhood trauma. Like I have whatever.
Blue Magnolia Rust.
There you go.
The best.
And I was like, oh man, I wonder what would happen if I did those. And you're like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe you should try. And I was like, oh fuck, I don't want to open that door. Do I?
Yeah.
And, like, I just have trouble. I have trouble like releasing that control.
Yeah.
And a lot of addiction for me too, as much as it was, I missed getting drunk. I feel like I had a lot of like fear of missing out more, mm-hmm, than anything.
Yeah.
You know, cause you see your friends and they're fucking having drinks and they're fucking bullshitting and they're having a good time. They're blowing off steam. I think a part of my addiction was like fighting. I think a part of my cravings was a lot of fear of just missing out.
Yeah. I always thought life wouldn't be fun without alcohol. Cause like, I'd always think like, how can you go to a concert or a sporting event without getting drunk? How can you go to the rodeo? It's like, well, we went last summer and it was fun.
These are still fun events.
They're still fun. You don't need the booze.
Right? Like, these are still fun events that you don't need to be, like, shit-faced drunk to enjoy. Yeah.
And then you actually enjoy them more because you're, like... So, like, say you go to a hockey game. And we haven't been to a hockey game since we've been sober. But we used to go quite a bit. And it was always, like, okay, the period's ending. You got to run up. You got to go to the bathroom. And you got to get your two next drinks for the next period. Because you want to keep drinking. So you got to wait in line, but you got to piss. So you got to get all this done. You only got 17 minutes in between periods.
Yeah.
Like, how nice would it be just to, like, stay in your seat?
Right? Not like, be on the verge of pissing your pants every single intermission.
Yeah, like, oh, intermission's here? It's like, okay, I'll just sit here.
Yeah, not whatever. Up in the bathroom, fucking destroying the bathroom lane. Puking all over the place.
Yeah, that happened a couple times.
That was a fun trip, yeah. I don't know. I just, yeah, like, and cravings. So, and like you said, we're 3+ years. According to my app, I'm 3 years, 3 months, and 18 days into my sobriety.
Yeah.
How often would you say cravings still hit?
Like, I don't know, once a month maybe. And it's not even like a craving for alcohol, but it's, I don't know what it is.
Well, you like, we were in town the other day and you were having a bad day and you were triggered. You had a craving. Yeah. Talk about that. Tell me what you're feeling.
I was just overwhelmed because what ended up happening is we had to switch out our kitchen faucet. And like, I am not a plumber. I fucking hate plumbing. It's just like, and I'm like, okay, like I should be like kind of good at this because like, okay. I'm not a plumber at work, but like we deal with fittings and shit like that and tools. But I just like, I hate plumbing. So I get it all done and I'm like, oh, this is like amazing. I actually changed the faucet and I had it all set up. And I'm like, wow, like this is going really well. And the assholes who sell the kitchen faucet don't include replacement hoses. And like, it wouldn't have been a big deal if we lived in like town, but it's like we live in Hudson Hope. So now I got to drive all the way to town to get these stupid hoses because the people who sell the faucet don't include them. So I'm just like pissed off. And then so we ended up driving to town and I'm just like in a bitchy mood and like.
And we had nice plans. Like before we.
Yeah, we had a plan to go to town but these hoses just had me in a mood.
Yeah, like we had like before, like a couple days before, we're like, yeah, we'll go to town. We'll get a fancy coffee. We'll go thrifting and we'll fucking go to Canadian Tire. Like, hey, because we don't go to town very often. When Blaine's not here, like, I won't see a town, Chetwynd or fucking Fort St. John for like a month and a half at a time. And I'm fine with that. But every fucking once in a while, your bitch wants to get some fucking sushi and go fucking thrifting.
Yeah.
It just is what it is, okay?
Yeah.
So we had like a nice plan. We were going to do this and we were going to do that. And like, Blaine is just fucking boss the wall. The most miserable cunt I've ever met the whole entire trip.
Yeah.
Like, you were so fucking miserable. And then, like, because you're playing off energy, so you're miserable, so now I'm fucking miserable. The dogs in the back are pretty much fucking miserable. Like, it was just, like, such a miserable outing.
Yeah, I just didn't want to do it.
And then, like, on where we were, just, like, we're coming home, and you just, like, came out, and you're just, like, fuck, like, I just keep thinking it'd be just a beautiful day to drink or something like that.
Yeah, I was, like, we were, like, driving home, and we were, like, kind of quiet, because we were, like, bitchy and, like, moody. And,
craving booze.
And I remember I drove past, like, the Red Barn in Charlie Lake, and I was just, like... Oh, wouldn't it be nice just to pull in there and just get a freaking whiskey on the rocks? Like, fuck it. But I'm like, why am I thinking this way? I'm just mad because of these fucking hoses made such a big deal that it made me that mad. Like, holy.
I know.
But then you said something, you're like, it's just a bad day, not a bad life. And I was like, oh, fuck, you're right.
Right? Like, was it like, yeah, like, is it worth fucking going completely over these fucking, like, $8 hoses, I might add.
I know.
Like, is it really worth going off the fucking rails and throwing 8 years of your life away?
No.
And, like, don't get me wrong. And I am a big believer, like, that, like, knock on fucking wood, we have never relapsed.
Yeah.
And, like, but I understand that people relapse. And, like, if you're fucking 8 years in and you relapse and you lose one day, like, you know what? You still have 8 years under your belt. Don't get me fucking wrong.
Yeah.
And nobody will take that away from you. But in the same sense, like, don't let something so trivial... like this, derail your whole entire fucking progress.
Yeah. Like, I think, like, I was just moody and Maybe it would have been nice just to stop and have lunch. I don't know.
I know, that was a big thing too. I'm like, we're just...
I was hungry.
I was like, we're just... Because we were supposed to get fucking lunch. But yeah, no, we just got fucking Blaine's reign of terror. Even the dogs were like...
Because then also, I was kind of like still stressed a bit. Because I'm like, oh, what if I got the wrong hoses? What if the fittings on the end aren't right? And oh, what if I put it together and it leaks? And I'm just like stressing about this stupid kitchen faucet. But the good news is we got home. The hoses all fit, no leaks, we're back in action.
Yeah, so, like, how fucking stupid in the grand scheme of things if you would have went off the rails over that, and then, like, you got home and it was, like, the easiest fix ever.
Yeah.
You're like, I just fucking, you'd be like, well, I might as well fucking go see what my old dealer's up to. Like, you just ruined your life over some hoses.
I don't know why, but little things stress me out sometimes.
That's life, because, especially as, like, a big man.
Big things don't, but little things do.
Especially as a man, men just seem to, like, take shit and take shit and take shit. And then all of a sudden, you're just, like, having a meltdown. And everyone around you is like, why are you the way that you are? And yeah. Then you just, like, I don't know, figure it out and come to start. Especially you. Like, you're just like, I'm good. And then you're just, like, not good. And, like, everything's shitty. And, like, you can find faults in everything. And then once you fucking blow up, you're just like, all right, I'm good.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck?
I don't know what that's about.
I mean, but this is, okay, this is, like, and, like, not only that, so this is 3 years in.
Yeah.
And, like, I would say this is what, I would call this a craving.
Yeah.
Okay, do you think how bad his meltdown was now? How fucking bad do you think this shit was early sobriety?
Oof.
Right?
Probably would have got drunk.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't have even cared about the kitchen faucet. Would have just left it.
Okay. And, like, I have a funny story. So this isn't necessarily alcohol addiction, but it's, like, nicotine addiction. One time, my dad's always been a heavy smoker, like, but both my parents have been heavy smokers, but my dad used to smoke, like, 3 packs a day, and he used to operate, used to be a fucking heavy equipment operator, he used to operate cat a lot. So one time, he fucking didn't have cigarettes, he was out in the middle of bumfuck, and, like, the hot shot or whatever was supposed to bring his cigarettes out, he fucking flipped out, because he was nicking out so hard, he kicked the dash in on the fucking cat. And then somebody came and gave him some smokes and was like, yeah, you're going to pay for that fucking. He just, like, destroyed the interior of this fucking cat, which I can imagine wasn't cheap to fix.
Yeah.
Over cigarettes.
Cigarettes are a bad one. Because, like,
cigarettes are a fucking. I've seen my parents get pretty fucking crazy.
Because you need a cigarette. Like, when we smoked, I'd just probably smoke a cigarette every hour.
Really?
I think. I don't know.
I used to smoke. A pack of smokes would last me. On the third day, I'd buy another pack.
Yeah,
I was drinking, then it was like game over.
I think I was like half pack a day, something like that. So yeah, about 1 an hour.
But I never smoked inside.
No, me neither. That was my only saving grace.
I think you smoke more if you smoke inside your house, because, like, my 100%. Parents will fucking, my parents will sit there.
Oh, it's one after the other.
We'll light one from one. Like,
last time we were there, they were vaping though, so it was nice. Didn't smell like cigarettes.
Like, we didn't fucking, all our shit didn't stink. Like,
I was like, next time we go, we should bring them a vape. Just for when we're there.
Yeah, right?
Make it nice.
That's like a nice little switch up, so you don't come home smelling like fucking cigarettes. Yeah,
smell like an ashtray.
But, like, cravings in general, like, that's pretty fucking, that was a pretty dramatic craving reaction, and you're fucking 3 years into sobriety, and you're still fucking blowing a fuse here and there.
Ah, it gets the best of you every once in a while.
Everything does, right? You're only, and just because you're, that's what I mean. Like, you could be fucking, people are like 8 years sober, and they throw it all away.
And we were like, I was kind of like mad at myself because we drove past the bar in Charlie Lake and, like, I had these thoughts and I'm just like, what the hell's wrong with me? Like, no, don't ruin your life. And then I kind of just sat there and, like, in my own head and, like, thought about it. And we drove for probably like 20 minutes before I even said anything. And then you're just like, what the hell? What's wrong with you? I'm like, I don't know.
I wasn't mad.
I know, but it's just, mad. Yeah.
It's a part of life.
I felt better after we communicated and I told you.
It's because you don't, we're working on that. We're working
on that. I'm trying to be a better communicator.
Right? So just acting the fuck up and then, like, it comes out, like, 8 hours later and I'm like, well, we could have fixed this had you talked about it. So just be a twat, whatever. Well, and it's part of life and it's part of sobriety and it's part of fucking, it's part of healing and it's part of beating this addiction. Like, I'm sure people have been sober for 30 years. They still probably have fucking cravings. Every once in a while when it's a nice day out and I see, like, everybody on Facebook's getting drunk and fucking having the gay old time, I think to myself, man. Or, like, every once in a while because I don't see my parents very much anymore. And a huge part of when I used to see them and I used to be involved with them a lot was when we'd all drink. Like, a small trigger in my head was, is like, hey, like, remember when I could just, like, go to my parents' house and have a drink?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, they still, like, we still had, like, this relationship. We still, like, I don't know. And it doesn't mean that I would throw my sobriety away. But, yeah, everybody has their fucking days. Everybody has their moments when you're like, yeah, you know what? It would be nice to just fucking crack open a fucking beer. I didn't drink beer. But, like, it would just be nice to have a fucking drink to take the edge off or, like, whatever.
Yeah.
But the reality of the situation is when you're an addict, it's – that's a fucking gamble that I just can't afford to take.
Yeah, no kidding. I know that, like, some people say once you're so far into sobriety – I had this conversation with someone before and we got in, like, an argument – so, like you could drink a beer. And I'm like, no, I couldn't. Like, yeah, you could. Like, you're, like, years into sobriety. Like, you could just have one. It's like, why? Number one, why would you risk it? And number two, no. Because an alcoholic isn't just going to, like, oh, I just broke my sobriety by drinking a beer. Like, no, I'm not going to stop there. I'm going to go all the way.
Because yeah, I'm
going, like,
to go off the fucking rails.
Yeah, well, I've already broke the sobriety. Might as well grab a bottle. Maybe I can fucking find some drugs. Like, it's right. Not that hard to find.
Why don't I turn this into a vintner? Like, I've already fucking. But again, and I mean, when people do that all the time.
Yeah.
People fucking throw away years of sobriety. And I mean, they don't lose that time that they were sober, but also, like, fuck, bro.
Yeah.
You know, you were so far in. And maybe that guy is, maybe whoever you're fighting with is right. Maybe they were they're an addict and maybe they can have one beer. But I sure as fuck ain't gonna find out the hard way.
No. And then the same person was like telling me, he's like, yeah, me and my wife are sober. I was like, oh, cool. And like we were chatting. And then he's like, yeah, well, we still, like, when we go camping, we'll drink beer. And I'm like, well.
You're not fucking sober.
And then it's like, oh, no, actually, like, I'm sober off meth. I'm like, oh, well.
Okay.
Well, okay, well, I mean, I've never done meth, but
I'm sober
I
off
imagine,
too.
Like, if it's anything like other drugs, it's probably pretty good.
Yeah.
But it's like, you can't say that you're sober. I don't know. Sober to everybody is different. Like, he's sober off meth. I'm sober off alcohol and cocaine. I still do mushrooms and marijuana.
And I'm sober off everything. I'm just fucking elite.
Yeah, except sourdough bread.
Coffee. I like caffeine. Yeah, caffeine.
She's a bread addiction.
Carbs, mostly. I like carbs.
Yeah.
But I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you're 2 weeks in, 2 days in, 2 years in, cravings are going to hit. It's going to fucking suck, but it's going to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And like, Blaine could have pulled in the fucking red bar there and fucking went for a beer and threw his life away over some fucking hoses. For the sink.
Yeah.
Or it could be like, hey, like, I'm going to figure this the fuck out because whatever I got going on here, whatever you got going on in your life, on your worst days, I can guarantee you it's better than your fucking drunk hungover days.
Yeah, true. I was stressed too because I had to replace a valve on the one line. I was like, oh boy, here we go. I don't know much about, like, plumbing. I hate this stuff, but it all worked.
We could have literally called a plumber, but you just had to be a
human. Yeah, but we live in Hudson Hope, so it's like...
Yeah, that's true.
Are there any plumbers in Hudson Hope? I'm sure there is, but...
It's like, also, you never know. We used to have, like, there used to be a store, like a fucking, like, home hardware, where there used to be, like,
a hardware store.
A hardware store, so this literally would have been the easiest thing to fix, but they closed. So
yeah, they closed,
like,
down.
Fuck.
So I was like, oh, no.
But I mean, it just goes to show little shit like that...
Yeah.
Can fucking...
Triggers you.
Right? Like, everyone's, yeah, like, I don't know. I try not to talk about my triggers with you because I, like, my cravings with you because I don't want to, like, trigger you.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But, like, one time I went to, like, the Sportsman. This wasn't that long ago either. I went to the Sportsman to pick up pizza and there was, like, a table of people just, like, shit-faced and laughing and having a gay old time. And I was, like, for, like, a split second, I was, like, But then I, like, looked down at my pizza and I was, like, nope. Not today, yeah. Satan. And I went home.
It's like, oh, that looks fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then I also remembered, I'm like, yeah, but I talk to a person for like 5 minutes and I'm like, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
Like, Blaine will go to camp for 3 weeks at a time and I'm like, I'll see like somebody like twice and I'm like, yeah, I'm good. Like, I just really leaned into my own energy and my own time.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, fuck, cravings will probably come until the day we die.
Yeah, true.
Do you remember that one you were telling me about, that one old lady who was like a zillion years sober and she was like on her deathbed and was like contemplating having like wine?
Yeah, she had a bottle of wine she was like saving for when she dies, and then
Jesus.
Like she was gonna drink it. I'm like, why? Like,
but she didn't end up drinking. I thought she just
she didn't drink it, but
see, but
she wanted to.
And this lady's
like,
probably
I'm not.
This lady's probably fucking like if she's old. She's probably super sober.
Yeah,
it's one of those things, right? Like it's again. I understand why people, I understand how people can fall off the wagon, because that's all it takes. Like, something as bad as fucking Blaine's hoses or the sink. Like,
yeah.
People fall off the wagon. It's not the end of the world, but it also doesn't mean you get to fucking free pass for falling back into your shit.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like, especially in early sobriety, you know, you got people that will go a month and then, like, I don't know, they'll have an excuse that they got drunk or whatever. Like, I don't know, maybe one of their friends came up or something. It's like, if you had a month, like, it's okay that you fell off. Like, just try again. Keep trying.
Well, and don't self-sabotage. Don't give yourself excuses to fucking fall off the wagon.
Like I said it before I got sober, I tried for a whole year with the Sober Time app. I had to keep resetting that damn thing. It's like every 3 days. It's like, fuck me. It's like, why am I even, like, doing this? I knew it was for a reason, but it was like, man, this is kind of embarrassing.
It's addiction.
Yeah.
You know, like, we don't
just gotta keep trying.
Right? And I mean, how many addicts do you know got sober on their first attempt?
I don't know. Well, I know, I was trying to think, I don't know that many sober people. It's actually, I know quite a few.
See what's funny though? I do know a lot of addicts.
I've never asked.
Now that I'm sober, I realize I know a lot of addicts, but I don't know a lot of sober people.
I actually know a lot of sober people.
It's going to be becoming more like prominent now, I find. But I don't know if it's just becoming more prominent because we're like open with it.
Yeah. Like at work, there was me and two other guys are on the same shift. We're all sober. And one of the other guys was like, oh, maybe on days off we can meet up, you know, go out to the bar and have some beers and whatnot. And I like looked at him and was like, ah, no, I'm good. I don't want to ruin my life. And now thinking back, I'm like,
guy's probably like dramatic.
That guy that I told that to like doesn't know that I'm sober. Like maybe I should have like actually told him. I don't know. Maybe he thinks like just going with him would ruin my life. I don't know.
He just like took it as like a personal attack.
I'll have to talk to him when I go back to work.
Clarify.
Yeah.
Well, I know too, like, even like in my like fitness groups and shit, there are a lot of, not a lot, but there are a few girls that are just like sober curious. Like they didn't have like a terrible relationship with alcohol. They just, when they drank, they went a little too crazy and they didn't like how the hangover would make them feel. Like fucking hangover anxiety is very real.
Yeah. Hangovers suck.
Like did you have like crazy, terrible fucking thoughts ever when you're like coming down from drugs and alcohol?
Yeah,
like, why am I even alive kind of thoughts?
Yeah, I was just like, oh my god, I'm gonna die.
Yes,
I felt like I was gonna die all the time.
Why is my heart racing? Why am I fucking
I was like, uh-oh, I think I'm gonna die.
This is the day.
Then you just do it over again. It's like, holy shit,
it's like playing fucking like Russian roulette, man.
Especially with drugs, like,
right?
My god.
And, like, and then being, like, overweight and unhealthy to begin with, like,
yeah.
We're lucky that we're relatively unscathed.
I know.
We really are. We have, like I said, we got fucking, obviously, somebody looking out over us, because god fucking damn.
I know. And now we're on, like, the total opposite side of just trying to, be better every day, like, just 1% better. Make little changes in my life to be better and better, you know? With health and fitness stuff, just work harder and push myself further.
But you also have to give yourself grace from how far you've come.
Yeah.
And like, well, something that I'm trying to learn and something I'm trying to come to terms with is there has to be a little bit of balance.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're never going to be, you can't go from being an alcoholic to fucking a saint or whatever the fuck, you know what I mean? Like, you have to give yourself grace. You have to give yourself you have to give yourself compassion, and you also have to realize that there is a reason you're an addict, and that doesn't go away. The trauma, the shit, like, you can deal with it and you can fucking move on, and you should, but there is a very much a reason why you grabbed onto being an addict.
Oh, 100%. There's a deep underlining reason but behind everybody's addiction.
Yes.
And I think everybody's, it's probably different, but it's mostly stemmed to trauma, and yeah, you're right.
So, like, you still have to honor that, and you still have to give yourself compassion.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. Like, when I say, like, oh, somebody fucking fell off the wagon 8 years in, like, are you just going to shun them and be like, oh, you're a piece of shit?
Yeah.
No, you give that person, all we can do is pray for her, but we, like, you're going to give that person some compassion, because obviously there's some fucked up shit that happened that made them still reach for that.
Yeah, true.
Compassion, people. We should all learn it, we should all use it, we should all give it to others, and we should give it to ourselves. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, guys, we hope you liked this week's podcast. If you did, leave us a like, comment, share. We'll catch you next week. Peace.